This is Jane McMillan interviewing Mike Brown at Indian Mountain School about Indian Mountain School. The date today is October 1st, 2012. Would you give me your full name?
Michael Christoph Brown.
And your birth date, please?
June 4, 1947.
Your birthplace?
Was Westmont, New Jersey.
And your parents' names?
My mother's name is Alma Gill Brown, and my father was Harry Brown.
How do you spell the Gill?
G-U-I-L-L-E.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I got three brothers and three sisters.
And the sisters' names?
Kathy, Pat, and Sue, and the boys' brothers are Greg, Tim, and Jeff.
Tim taught here for a while, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, from approximately 1980 to 1990, something like that.
And what is your educational background?
Well, I went to Triton High School in Runnymede, New Jersey. Then I went to Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and got my master's at Bard College in environmental studies.
And how did you come to this area?
My sister-in-law, Susan Davey at that time, taught at, I think it was Salisbury Central for a few years. And she also might have been Salisbury Central, I think. Then she did teach in Cornwall.
It was Cornwall, because I was at Salisbury Central at that point.
1972?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it was Cornwall. You might have known her otherwise. I guess her husband might have taught in Salisbury. Anyway, So
that's how you came here?
Well, yeah. So we came to visit her. She lived in Lakeville, and we fell in love with the area, and after my third year of teaching in New Jersey, I was ready to move to New England, and we found this opening to teach science in 1972, and that's when I got that job and came here.
What was Indian Mountain like when you came? And I want to know about buildings, I want to know about curriculum, and I want to know about students. So let's start with buildings. What were the buildings at that point?
Well, it's easier probably, it almost would be easier to say what is not here. But anyway, maybe not. So what was here, we had this whole main building complex without the library science area that we now have. There was an art room that was out at an old barn, which is no longer there. The maintenance barn had some art out there. And above that barn was also a nature barn where they had nature activities. That was sort of becoming decrepit even in 1972. A lot of the animals were sort of falling apart and all, and they hadn't kept up the nature club very much. I did take that over. Then we had, well, none of those dormitories were there. The only dormitories were the dormitory above the main building, at the top of the main building.
Okay.
There was Osgood Dormitory, that was for boys. We had no girl boarders.
Mm-hmm.
There was Haddon House, which had some ninth graders.
And that's there. The headmaster's house, isn't it?
No, Haddon House is down the road, separate building.
Ah.
Now, the headmaster's house was there. So there was no Stockton, no Doolittle, no upper part of Osgood. And then, of course, there's a new dormitory for girls out in the field. So none of those are built. We had no place for girls at that time, because there were no girl boarders.
How many students were there in the 70s?
Oh, wow. Good question. Probably 110.
Mm-hmm. And it was all boys?
No, there were no girl boarders.
There were girl day students?
Yes.
Okay. And who was the headmaster when you came?
Dick Rouse.
And tell me a little bit about him, please.
Dick Rouse was actually a very good headmaster. I'm a little surprised he left, but that's another story. But anyway, he was well-liked by teachers and students. He was very congenial. He loved to sing, like some of the other headmasters. And he had great parties. Good, you know. Good
I'm assuming support. Faculty parties.
Faculty parties.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did he teach?
If he taught, and he might have taught, you know, this was almost 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He would have taught English, I believe. He probably taught English if he did. You know, a lot of headmasters teach, and typically a lot of them are English teachers for some reason. Maybe because of their verbal acuity.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what's the Rouse Prize given for?
The Rouse Prize?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to have to look that up.
Okay.
Because I don't remember that. I mean, it says right on the Rouse Prize.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't memorize it of them, but it's probably something like energy and congeniality.
Okay, that'll do. Do you remember who followed Dick Rouse?
Yes, Peter Carlton followed Dick Rouse.
And tell me about Peter Carlton.
Well, again, another very congenial guy who loved his students, was dedicated to the students in many ways. Was fairly friendly with the faculty, but in the end, at the end of his time here, things didn't go well.
I remember that he prided himself on knowing the names of every student, and if he didn't know their names, I think by Christmas he'd give them a quarter.
That's right. He was.
Now, his wife had a position here too, didn't she?
Yes.
Kitty?
She did. I don't remember what her position
development,
was.
Perhaps, or okay. Alumni relations, something
yes,
along those lines.
Yes, I think it was that.
And then came whom? Do you remember?
Well, we had some interim headmasters
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Lanphier was one, and I think Tom Addix
yes.
was an interim headmaster.
He'd been assistant headmaster, hadn't he? Or
I think he
manager?
Was. I think he was. No, he was a teacher. He was a math teacher. He
okay.
and his wife were math teachers. And it was an interesting change because now I had a peer as a headmaster.
Yes.
And sitting with the headmaster in his house having a drink of, you know, having a glass of wine or beer, you know, just sort of...
It's a little different.
In a regular conversation that wasn't looking like up at somebody but having a colleague was
mm-hmm.
quite
mm-hmm.
a different thing. But then that only lasted about a year. And I guess that's when Derry Dunham came.
Was Mr. Fish an interim?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Then there was Mr. Fish. He must have been after Addix, sorry.
Yes, he was.
So Mr. Fish had a big family. I think he had a family of seven.
He did. I had some of his children in my class.
And there was some... I liked him. I got along well with him. But there was some conflict with faculty there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never seemed to be a good connection. And it was... I guess it was a harder time at Indian Mountain at that time also. So there was... He was only headmaster for 2 or 3 years before he finally moved on.
And
that's when Derry came.
Yes.
It was a big turning point in the school in terms of its stability and progress.
Mm-hmm.
He brought a lot of energy and got the school into working on a new course in which faculty and student and he worked together well, and we had a lot of progress. We did a lot of building.
Oh, I know you did a lot of building.
And yeah, he had a good connection with students.
Yes, he did.
And he was another headmaster who loved to sing, and that was a big part of his
mm-hmm.
Morning meetings. And we would often sing some songs, and he would lead them. And that was a good camaraderie that... developed between faculty and students and, you know, and the administration and students at that time because of that, I think partly because of that singing. And there, you know, his whole style. He was, I'd say, more of a disciplinarian in the sense that he would expect a lot from kids and did not, a little bit more old school in the sense of...
He expected things
yeah,
to happen and they did.
And he was not as... was, you know, cuddly with kids.
No.
There was
a distance between he and the students as far as discipline was concerned in that he had expectations that
yes.
he wanted fulfilled.
Correct.
And then when he retired, who came?
Well, now we have Mark Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know him.
Well, Mark is a great guy. He's also has a lot of vision and expectations. His style is also is different in that he, what's the word, gives a lot of ownership to other people. In terms of, you know, now the assistant head has a lot of power. The upper school disciplinarian, you know, head of the upper school has a lot of power. And all these people are given the, are empowered to take on their position and determine, you know, what's done there.
He delegates and leaves them alone.
Delegates is the word I was looking for.
Good man. Good manager.
Doesn't necessarily leave them alone.
But doesn't micromanage.
And he's very open to discussion and sharing ideas, which is not has been not always the case. But, you know, there's always a tension between faculty and headmasters in which the faculty never feel that they're getting their say as much. And that sometimes that continues with Mark, but it was, I think, maybe more so with Derek.
How many students were on campus at the time that you left, which was last year, I think?
Well, you see, it gets confusing to me because now we have the lower school.
That's right.
I didn't even bring that into it.
Well, let's just talk about upper campus, this part. Any idea?
I mean, you're going to need to look it up. We talk about 200 and some, 200
okay.
maybe.
All right.
But that seems...
small.
Large. Okay. If it's just... it must be 200 in the upper school.
And when did girls come as boarders?
Good question.
80s?
Yeah, it was 80s.
Okay.
When? I'm guessing mid-late 80s. Well,
I would have said earlier because my husband was teaching here from 79 to 82, and I thought there were day boarders, but I could be wrong.
Day boarders?
Girls.
Girl
boarders.
Oh, girl boarders, yeah. You have to look it up.
Mm.
I don't remember the exact date. I know that at first I was, in terms of girls boarding, my initial thing was I wasn't so sure it was a good idea, but I went along with it. And I found that the time after we had girls as boarders, it really helped to mellow out the entire community, made it a better balance, I thought. Less aggressive craziness among the boys. It seemed that there was a moderation of that aggressiveness in the feel of the residential community. So, and yeah, I think it was a good decision, and it benefited the school.
Good. Something went through my head, and I'm trying to get it back. Now, I'm going to call this upper campus. This is the Indian Mountain School that I know. Yeah. Is from grade 5 to 9.
Correct.
When did Indian Mountain School acquire Town Hill, which was kindergarten through 4th? When did that merger take
Probably
place?
Probably around 7 years ago.
Okay.
Which is what?
Would be about 2005.
Somewhere
2004,
four, 5.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Which was a very traumatic birth.
Yes, yes.
It was tough. A lot of the people down there had not really experienced administration in which they were completely responsible to.
And held accountable.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not saying that they weren't accountable, but that they did not favorably look at administration very well. I mean, headmistresses mostly down there, I think it was mostly headmistresses, did not last long because of the conflict.
Yeah.
And then there's the parents involved too, you know. So you have the headmistress, you have the parents with expectations, you have the teachers. So when Derry took over, it was tough. They didn't want to be held accountable for things that we were doing up here.
Mm-hmm.
Like faculty evaluations, they didn't want to hear about that. And that's, so people just left. Uh-huh. Just walked out.
Okay.
And it was too bad. And it was tough on Derek. And probably part of the reason he left when he did.
It could have been. It could have been. But it would be a very traumatic to try and fuse the two that had been so different in their beginnings and then try and merge the two. Tell me about some of your colleagues that you particularly remember.
Well, let's go back to the old days, because I remember them well. And I remember the newer ones, too, but there have been so many. But, you know, the first people I knew, like Steve Carver, who mm-hmm. was the assistant headmaster. Great guy, an upper school disciplinarian, just a great guy, just full of energy, full of life, great history teacher. He was responsible for the demise of Peter Carlin, largely because of his reports on what was going on. And then, because of that, there was retaliation from the board, and Steve Carver was let go a year or two after Peter Carlin left. So that's there's a whole big story about that, which I won't go into. But, so there's Steve Carver. Winter Copeland, who ran into trouble later. He left at a point when another teacher got in serious trouble, and there were some fingers pointed at Winsor Copeland, but Winsor was a great teacher and a great mm-hmm. colleague. Kids loved him. He was a French teacher. It's wonderful. And you had Sorwedi, Bob Sorwedi.
Oh, yes.
Who was in charge of a dormitory for many years. He was a Latin teacher, and eventually he was hired at Hotchkiss and moved there. Mm-hmm. And Marjorie. She also went on to Hotchkiss to become an art teacher there. Well, there's lots of people. Then more recently, in the science department, we had, my brother I taught with many years.
What did Tim teach?
Tim taught physical science, we worked together pretty nicely.
And what did you teach?
I taught biology and physical. Tim taught, I think, earth science and physical science. I taught biology and physical science.
And it seems to me...
Sometimes there was science, sometimes... lower school life science.
Didn't you have a snake in your classroom?
Oh yeah, we had a huge snake for years.
And what was
Ka?
Ka, yes.
Ka, big boa constrictor.
Boa constrictor.
And the kids loved to feed that.
Oh sure.
It was a treat until the snake bit somebody. And I got bit a couple times.
Yeah, well, you were.
Yeah, I'm still doing it more, but. We had John Hoffman. Of course, he was a science teacher, and he and I worked for many years together.
What did John teach?
John taught earth science and physical science.
Okay. All right. How about Jim Heath?
Heath was an English teacher, good English teacher, who I remember pretty well. He and his wife taught here for a few years, and he moved on to teaching public school.
Okay.
Somewhere out near Avon.
Art Stein,
wow, that's a long time ago. Art Stein was the dorm master in Osgood. It was all boys at that point. Mm-hmm. Great guy. I mean, he was in his waning years. He was, in terms of just prior to retirement. So I came in. The beginning of my tenure here was the end of his tenure.
I see.
And but a very nice guy. He and his wife were wonderful people. And anyway, I coached with my main contact with Art was that he was in the same dormitory where I lived, and also we coached lacrosse together, which was fun.
What were the responsibilities that you had besides teaching? Coached and dorm. Tell me a little bit about the responsibilities that you had.
In the beginning, I mean, they're still quite extensive, the responsibilities. But back then it was even more so, I mean, because you didn't have... I think we probably coached 3 sports a year. Dormitory 2 or 3 nights a week, and on weekends, you know, so you taught... If you lived in a dorm, you might have had every third weekend off, maybe.
Did it actually work that you had a weekend off?
Oh, yeah. You had a full weekend off every maybe third weekend. But the other times you were responsible.
It was a 24/7.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, good and bad. Good in that you got to know the kids mm-hmm. better, and you really had got to develop a good rapport with them outside the classroom. So mm-hmm. it was a community that it's just work. It's work, but it's
pleasure too.
Of course it's pleasure, but it's just all.
It's concentrated. It's very concentrated.
And you know, being a younger teacher at that time, the responsibilities are a new thing. You know, you've been free.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you're restricted.
Yeah, now you're an adult, and even though you're 25, the responsibilities are tougher at a younger age.
Sure, because you're not as used to handling responsibility. Yeah. How about Gretchen Doolittle? Do you remember her?
Oh, God, yeah, Gretchen. Wonderful woman, math teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She taught here for many years. Her sons went here, three of her sons, two of them. Did they share the Triangle Prize? They probably did. The two Mikes.
Mm-hmm.
The two Mikes. Mike and John Doolittle. Great kids. And there's the other son, Matthew, graduated. So those three, she has, I think, five boys, and three of them graduated from here. I think Matthew went on to be a doctor, had his doctorate
in two
different areas. He was quite a student.
gracious. What did you like best about the job?
Oh, well, living here, and as I said before, the community spirit, you know, the closer relationship to the students, and of course the faculty, the whole community of faculty working together, helping each other, getting to know each other, sharing all those good times and bad times. And then, you know, living here in the summer is like living in a resort for me, because I like the mountain, I like the whole wilderness experience. Not that it's total wilderness, but, you know, being able to just walk up in the mountain and feeling like you're in a wilderness area. It's good.
Is there anything that I haven't covered in this interview that you'd like to add?
Oh, I don't know. It's just interesting the way the school is changing and becoming more and more, I don't know, getting better all the time and becoming more attuned to kids. Now my wife's been a tutor here, and that whole department has blossomed over the last 20 years with Priscilla Wolf in charge, and the way we look at students and their abilities and their learning differences, you know. It didn't used to be that way.
I didn't ask you about Dani Carlisle.
Well, she also was a tutor, and mm-hmm. she wrote a book that we used to use for tutoring. But, that must have been 20 years ago.
It was.
So, I mean, I can't remember that much. But she was wonderful and did a lot for promoting tutoring. But still, since then, there's been so much progress, and there's continuing testing and so on that brings out deeper difficulties in the learning process that students have, so that we're not looking at students as deficient, but as having different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of a positive progress in helping students.
What a wonderful summation. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.